February 27, 2009, and it's good to sit together to enjoy the presence of each other and to share our practice, because every Friday when you come here after the meditation, and I used to give a talk, but you do not have a chance to ask the question. So once a month, the last Friday of the month, we sit together like this in a very warm and friendly, as a family together, to have the chance to share the practice, to share the difficulties, or to share our happiness, or to share a question. And we all can share our point of view. And the first question is, if we are Roman Catholic, or we are Christian, or we all come from another belief, and can we at the same time that we practice Buddhism? If you look at Buddhism by the eyes of and the view of a religion, and you will not see the connection, because at that time you think this is the religion, that is the religion, and you cannot see the connection. But if you see that you come as a practitioner, you come for the practice, and you can see, you feel more convenient, you feel more comfortable when you learn and you practice. Because Buddhism is the way of life. Buddhism is not only a religion. And the teaching of the Buddha is for us to apply in our daily life in order to relieve our suffering. Not the teaching. It is not a teaching for us to die for. It is not the teaching for us to protect, to carry, and to show that we know a lot about Buddhism. The teaching of the Buddha is like the soup and the tongue. You must use your tongue to taste the soup. You cannot use the spoon to scoop the soup. You cannot taste anything. And this teaching, we cannot just talk about it, but we have to practice. You have to come and see. Each of us, we are like a plant, like an orchid. You must know what kind of orchid that you have. And then you must learn how to nourish that kind of orchid, that kind of flower, in order to make that plant grow stronger and can bloom as a flower as you wish. Same thing. We come to each of the practice is to learn. Another word, we come to Buddhism or Christian or the churches is to learn and to apply, to make us happy, to make us happiness in this entire life. And right here and right now, not for us to come to do something and then we only have it, we only receive it in the future. But in this present life, we have nothing. That is not Buddhism. So Buddhism is, you can look at Buddhism as a philosophy, as a religion. But more than that, it is the way of life. And the way of life have no limit, have no frame. And even the teaching of the Buddha, we able to flexible to change, to update in such a way that able to bring the real, the true happiness for us in our daily life. If that teaching come from the Buddha 2,600 years ago, but now is no longer adapt with the entire world, entire people, and that don't have to worry for. That's why the Buddha have said, I taught for 45 years, but I haven't said a word. Why is that? The Buddha doesn't want us to stick, to attach what he taught. So why he say, I did not say a word? Because if you attach with the words, you will be suffer. Words only temporary to describe something. If you want to taste it, you cannot base on the words only. But you have to really in touch and practice what you learn. Exactly as today, we have a special treat, the tamarind candy. So when you look at it, you don't know what is it. So I have to use my words to introduce to you. This is the tamarind with sugar. A little bit sweet, a little bit sour. And you will ask Thai, how it's sweet, how it's sour. If I try my best to explain, I say, sweet like sugar, sugar is not candy. Sour like lemon, lemon is not the tamarind. Unless I don't have to say anything, you take a try. Period. That's it. You taste it, you know it. Cannot explain. Can you see what I mean? So when you ask, you practice Buddhism, you attain the fruit of the Buddha, you happy, you have peace, that kind of peace cannot describe. Because any kind of words to describe is not exactly your inner peace. You just borrow some other things, peace like this, sour like that, sweet like that. That is not this. This is it. When you taste it, you know it, period. Can you see what I mean? So therefore, there is nothing wrong. You are Christian, you have a real root, but you know how to find more vitamins to nourish for your tree, your plant, your root. If you are Buddhism, there is nothing wrong to learn from others. But if you attach to what, if you are a Buddhism for many years and you frame yourself in the frame of Buddhism, you are not Buddhism at all. Because Buddhism is not only that kind of frame that you attach for. So the teaching of the Buddha is for us to find the truly inner peace. Not the commitment, not the scripture, not the book, not the Bible. And we die for that set of Bibles. Can you see what I mean? So if you want to spread out, you want to flourish Buddhism, it is not on the form of a monk, in the form of, with a rope, with prayer beads, or the cushion to show that you are a real Zen master. Because if you can able to practice meditation Zen, doesn't matter where you sit, that place become the Bodhi tree. You sit under the Bodhi tree, that place become the place where you practice meditation. The real hero, they do not need to carry the the saw along with them and show that I am the one who have a good martial art. They just walk freely on the street. But whoever attacked them, they have some other way to prevent, to fight back. Same thing. So the teaching of the Buddha that we have mentioned a lot of time, you don't have to carry the Buddhist scripture to show that how much you know. But you must become a living Bible. The Bible that we publish as a book, we can publish tons of them, and they are impermanent. They're only paper words to describe something. But if you stick with that word, you suffer. The teaching, the practice is to help us to be free, to be liberated, and to be happy. But if you suffer of that, that is the wrong purpose of learning and practicing. Can you see what I mean? So you practice in order to attain your truly inner peace. But in the other hand, you learn the peace, but you suffer for the word of peace. You learn to be liberated, but you attach with that word liberation, and you suffer for that word of liberation is not correct. You learn the word emptiness in order to be free from your attachment. But you're free from your attachment, but now you're attached to the word emptiness. I used to give an example. People who are addicted to smoking, they want to quit smoking. They use chewing gum in order to help them to overcome the time, the difficult time that they addicted to the cigarette. But after they can release the attachment from the cigarette, now they attach to the chewing gum. At first they borrow the chewing gum in order to help them to relieve the other attachment. But after they successful in that, their main attachment, now they attach to another thing. And be careful, sometimes we are in that kind of trap. All the teachings, they try to help us to attain happiness, inner peace. But if we do not know how to open the heart and use our mindfulness to learn and to apply, and that is wrong. And if anyone who come up and say, no matter what, you have to die for this kind of teaching. You have to die for this saint. Then that is not a real mindfulness practice. I don't mean to say which one is right or wrong. But we have an insight to look deeply and to find out the way for us. We have the right to find the way for us. Which way is fit for you? And that's good. The same as I took herbalist. And I cannot say herbalist number one. Maybe herbals fit with my body, but it doesn't fit with your body. You cannot say Tylenol is better than Advil, or Advil is better than aspirin. As a pharmacist, you cannot say which one is the best. Anything that's able to curve, to heal your sickness, that's become number one. Sometimes the medicine is very cheap, but it heals your body, heals your sickness. Sometimes that kind of medicine is so expensive, but it doesn't work for your body. So nobody can tell which one is the best. Anything, any way that you feel happy with your walk, your practice, it makes you happy, truly find your peace, truly you can attain your life much happier than the past, and that is the right way. Can you see about that question? Yeah. So that is my sharing for that kind of question. So don't worry. Let's say Sunday you go to church, Friday you come to temple. Not a problem. Okay? I cannot say once you become a Buddhist, you cannot go to church. I won't say that. But I appreciate because you know how to make your root stronger, bigger, and healthier. And why you need to take all of that kind of vitamins to nourish the whole tree, the branches, the leaves, and everything. The tree cannot survive by only water. The tree survives by soil, water, sunshine, cloud, everything. So that's why we have a quote, "The bread in your hand is the body of the cosmos." Because in one piece of bread, we can see the whole universe in there. So the tree cannot, we cannot just live because just ourselves. We have a lot of other elements to support for us to survive. So a healthy plant, a healthy tree cannot survive only by water or only by soil. It needs other conditions, elements to help for that tree, that plant. We are the same. This will be a long story. Yeah. So not only you, but many people, of course, they curious about the monk's life. And especially you can see that most of the monks ordained when they were very young. Myself, I interested in the Buddha since I was 5. Even at that time, I do not know anything. But every day before I go to school, I must stop by one of the houses across my school and to look at the Buddha statue. And that make me happy and go to school. When I see people burning the incense, of course, at that age, you are not allowed to burn incense. So I just pick the remain from the incense and pretend this is like an incense and offer to the Buddha. And when I saw people banging, inviting the bell 3 times, I don't have the bell. I go on the street at the at the metal electric pole, and I use the rock and hit on that kind of pole and to make the sound of the bell 3 times. So when I'm 7, I told my parents that I want to go to the temple. And even my parents, they are Buddhism, but they never have time to attend the church, the temple. They never go to temple. And since that, I start to learn Buddhism. I start to learn vegetarian and everything. So at 8, I have a desire to become a novice. But my mother does not allow me until I came to Canada. In 1986 and 1990, after finished grade 9, I have the permission of my parents to ordain as a novice. So after my ordination, I still attend high school. Yes, in Edmonton. And after that, I went to France to study with Thich Nhat Hanh in a very short time. Because our temple here, only the master and myself, so I am unable to stay there long as I want. But I have to come back here early to help the temple. So that's why right now when I have the students, and I think I can offer my time, my energy, my effort to support the temple, and I allow all the young novices to have chance to study as much as they can. And when they finish, they can come back and help the Sangha more stronger. And you see that all the novices are the Buddhist monks. Most of us ordained when we were very young. And each of us come to the practice in different ways. Some of the monks, they just love the brown robe. Myself, I love the yellow one, the long sleeve yellow one. Because when I saw the monk walk on the street, you know, and with that kind of yellow robe, it looked beautiful. And I always tell myself, one day I will wear that kind of robe. So some novices, they love the temple because the desserts from the temple. You know, in Buddhist temple in Vietnam, every time when we have big celebration, we have lots of snacks, lots of desserts, lots of food, sweet stuff. And the kids, they like sweet stuff. And some of them, they go to temple, live in the temple, just because they love the sweet stuff in the temple. So there are many ways that the novices come to the temple. And all the teachers, when they accept the novices, they just think that when the kids, they have the good intent to stay in the temple, we just open our heart and accept them. We don't know how long they can walk on this path. It doesn't matter. We just do our best to nourish them, to support them. So let's say if one day they withdraw, when they grow up, they withdraw, it is fine because at least they have learned something when they were young. So we do not, but we try to make them stay and live like a family, brotherhood and sisterhood. So right now, all the novices, even in Vietnam or in anywhere, they have a very similar way to teach. All the basic chanting, they are the basic teaching of the Buddha, and especially they learn the manners, the mindful manners, the behave for themselves and for the others. And of course, kids still kids. Sometimes they create problems between each of them or in school, you know, they still kids. So that's why the teacher who accepts them have to treat them like the parents of at home. You know, we need to prepare lunch for them or go to school with them, register for them, and if they have problem, we need to talk with the teacher. We need to attend the parents, teacher interviews, stuff like that. So it is a very happy when you can, teach and play with the young novices. And we become a full monk, and we all have time as a novice too. So that's how the Buddhists continue in the temple. So after the master, and I will replace the master to run the temple, and after I run the temple, the next generation will continue. And in Buddhism, of course, we very important about the learning, but we do not put the learning on the top of the list. But the important is the virtue, the morality of that practitioner is the most important. Like if they learn too much, but they have no humble, they have no practice, and that is not worth. Sometimes they do not learn much, but they do practice what they learn, and that's more valuable than you learn a lot, but you don't have the good personal, you are not a good, you do not have the enough merit or morality or virtue to lead other people. So that's why we do have a school, Buddhist school, Buddhist high school or Buddhist college or Buddhist university. Sometimes some of the monks, they just attend directly to the fully monastery learning. The important is they can apply what they learn, and they can apply what they learn along with their sharing with the others. And the question is the monks and the nuns ordained in the same way? And yes, in Vietnam or in China or in any like Buddhist country, the nuns, they also ordain exactly the same as the monks, but in their own nunnery. We do have a nunnery, and lots of nuns, they also ordained when they were young too. Like most of the Buddhist monks and nuns, they ordained when they were very young. Like some of them 10 years old, 8 years old. Like I all the novices here, they ordained when they're 7. Some of them ordained at 8, some of them ordained at 10. Some of them ordained at 12. So we all start, most of us start when we were very young. And the way we train the nuns and the monks same. But why all the nuns need to go to a nunnery? Because the senior nuns, they understand the teaching of the nun more, so they can teach directly and more convenient, you know, for the ladies, teaching the ladies. Like us here, because we do not have enough numbers of nuns to start the nunnery, and also we do not have the support to open another nunnery. First, about the finances. Secondly, about the number of people living there. So that's why we have some only 3 nuns. They stay here to help us. Of course, we run the temple, and they can help us in within their capacity. Some young nuns, they help to cook daily, and also they can help us to do the chanting if I'm not home. Stuff like that. And can the nun ordain fully like a monk? Yes, they are also ordained fully like a monk. They can be the abbess of a monastery. They can come to the stage and lead the ceremony and teach. But in their practice, they always respect the monks as their older brothers. Even the nuns very old on age and also very old in the practice, but with a young monk, they still respect as an elder brother. So that's why the young monks very much respect and love the senior nuns. Because, you know, like we respect each other. And the nuns always respect the monks like an older and elder brother. And they always get the support from the monks when they need some help. And usually, if the nunnery open, and twice a month, they will come to the monks' temple to invite the monks to send one teacher to come over to the nunnery to give lecture. And if they open the retreat for nuns, they will come and present their activity to the monks. And the monks will send the support by the teaching, anything that they're able to help for the nun. Yeah. So we all, like, that's why as a monk we call bhikkhu. Bhikkhu is the precepts of the monks. And bhikkhuni is means the nun. So ni means stand for nun.
Why do the nuns have more precepts?
Actually, when you say the precepts, we should understand that is the mindful manners. Because the let's say based on their physical body, okay, between men and women, there's already some difficulties between. So that's why more details for the nun to protect. Not if you don't do that, you go to hell. But it's more mindful manners for the nun. For example, let's say nuns are not allowed to walk in to travel in the outside at night alone. Okay, why is that? It's just to protect them. So it's not the precepts, but it's more in the mindful manner. You see what I mean? So not because we have the level discrimination between men and women, but it is love. It's come from the love. And you remember that when after Buddha's enlightenment, the first 12 years, we do not have any precepts. Why? Because in the Sangha, no one break anything that not appropriate for the monastery. Unless at beginning from the 13 year after that, some monks in the Sangha start to do something wrong. And that wrong, that mistake, the Buddha have heard and learned that. And Buddha say, from now on, as a monk, you are not allowed to do this. And then, maybe few months or year later, some other monk have done another wrong mistake thing. And the Buddha have learned and have heard that. The Buddha call and say, so from now on, you are not allowed to do this. So every time someone in the Sangha do something wrong, that is not appropriate for the monastic, the Buddha start to say, this has become one of the rules. Just very limited. And then they have about almost 200 mindful manners. Like we are not allowed to jump. Like, you know, where you walk and then you jump, that's become a manner. Like a monastic, when you wear the robe, you know, you should walk properly. Do not jump. Right? You're not allowed to screaming, yelling, calling someone from there. You see what I mean? So, it's more manners than like what we call the rules. But everything together, we call precepts. Okay, what's the second one? Okay. The first question is the nun be invited to give lecture to monks? Yes. Let's say if that nun, she have learned something. Okay? And she is invited to share with the monks. So she come up not to teach, okay, but to share. The why I use that word, because they do not say, I will come up here and teach the monks to do this. They're very humble. They say that today I come here because I have learned this, so I would like to share my learning to all of the monastics. You understand? You see that sometimes some nuns, they come here and they're able to give a talk. We invite them to come and talk, give a talk. We have done that several times in our monastery. Okay? And the second question is, some of the monastics, they ordained when they were, you know, very old, like in late time of life. Is that your question? Yeah, that's true. But not to not the purpose to detach or to release to this entire world. But some of them, after they get married and they live, you know, as a regular life, when they get older, they feel that they want to become a monastic because they can see how beautiful of a monastic's life. So they come to the temple and request to ordain as a novice, as a monastic. So some at the monastery, they do accept because their compassion, they love. So of course, when they too old, they come to the temple, they cannot do anything, you know, to help others, but at least to help them to, you know, more time to relax, to rest, and to practice as much as they can with their remaining time of life. You understand what I say? Yeah. But some monastery, they do not accept because that place only to train for the young one. It's how you can make the decision, it depends on the teacher of that monastery. If they say, oh, this is only the place for young people, I will introduce you to another one that I know where a lot of senior monks and nuns who ordain late. They, you know, same age, more easier than we mix together, very difficult to teach and to get along with, because the senior and the young people are different thinking, different way of life. Like my situation, when I ordain, I'm only 15. And at the same time ordain with me, I have another old man who ordain at the age of 88. You see, an 88 years old man ordained as a novice with a 15 years old boy. So, but we have no choice because in Edmonton only the master, only one monastery. So we stay together. But you know, I get along with that old novice easily. Okay, he wake up very early. He go to bed around 8 or 9. At that time, I still doing my homework. And then I go to bed late. At 2 o'clock, he turned on the light. And he is deaf. He said he never hear what he have done. So he closed the door. He answered the phone. He do lots of stuff with his heavy hair. Heavy. But I'm fine. You know. And his job every day in the temple, he cooks some rice. So after school, I come back to the temple. I will do some vegetarian dish, and we three of us, the master, me, and him, we have dinner together. So he stay home, he cook rice, and he always measure how much we eat. So he say, novice Papua eat two bowls of rice. I eat one, master eat one. So he measure the rice. He cook exactly 4 bowls. And so any day we have visitor, unexpected visitor, the master say, can I invite you to stay for dinner? And we have no rice left to eat. So I say, why don't you cook a little bit extra so we can have some for me and some for... He say, if the extra rice, who will eat the extra one? So sometimes, you know, it's very fun that we always talk back and forth just between how many bowls of rice this day. So he was passed away 10 years after his ordination. So at 90 something, yeah. So we have lots of good time together, no problem, you know. But when you accept the monastic, your students, it depends on the teacher. Sometimes people come, they don't accept right away. They say, okay, if you want, you have to come here. Stay here for 6 months to test yourself. Sometimes you so suffer outside and you think, oh, now I want to leave the world, outside world. I want to become a monastic. So 3 months later, romantic love come back to you, and then you divorce your monastic life. So what we have done is we usually what we call is the time to become an aspirant. Okay, you come to practice as a practitioner in the temple first. 6 months for three things. First, to experience yourself in the real monastic life. Secondly, to ask yourself a question: is this life, is the right, is this path, this way is the right path that I want to choose? Is this situation, this monastery, this teacher, this people I can get along and practice with? Or, and also your teacher have a chance to pay attention to you, to see whether you have the capacity to become a monastic or not. So after 6 months, you may think you are ready, but your teacher say, no, I don't think you are ready. I ask you to extend another 6 months. So many people, when they want to become a monastic, this is something we encourage them to do. Come to stay first. Stay for 6 months or a year first before they make their decision. Any other question? Okay. Okay, so I appreciate your time and your question. I think we learn from each of the questions. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and see you next Friday. Thank you. Now I will invite the three sounds of the bell. I invite the Sangha to enjoy the three sounds of the bell along with your breath.